Okay, a couple of things here. A couple of themes starting Wednesday night, right on through this morning, and maybe a little bit into this next 35 minutes that we have, 40 minutes. A statement by Miles Coverdale here that Nikki was kind enough to write on the board for me about context. It shall greatly, and there are some passed out, if you make sure you get a copy. It shall greatly help ye to understand the Scriptures. That's not a bad thing to do, right, to understand the Scriptures. It shall greatly help ye to understand the Scriptures if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom, who wrote it, and to whom did he write it, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what goeth after. And if you'll allow me, I'm going to do this one over again. I did have the right side. And it's a word called context. You've got to keep things in context. And forgive me, for the third time, you're going to hear a story. I'll do it quicker. Okay, Brother Jerry Lockhart called and he said, "Hey, Steve, what time you get up in the morning?" I said, "Jerry, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning." And he said, "Great." He says, "How about your wife, Kim? What time does she get up in the morning?" "She gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning." And he said, "Great." He said, "So you beat your wife up every morning?" I said, "Yeah, that's right. I beat my wife up every morning." Again, the idea is where, you know, depending on where you came into that discussion, that may take on a whole different meaning, right? And that's what this whole statement that Miles Coverdale, that's what all that means at the end of the day. Because if you take the text out of the context, you are left with nothing but a con. And how many times that is done with Scriptures. And that's why we have 300 and some denominations today. 1,000? 20,000. Okay? Because we take things out of context. And while I was going to continue Right Division is about how to get things in context, because this whole book is for us to know how God Almighty has dealt with people, with mankind, in different times in history. Starting, 4,000 years ago, okay? 4,000 years before the cross, 2,000 years since the cross. How God dealt with mankind at different times. You know, we could read the part in there where he's telling Noah to go build an ark, but if you go build an ark in your front lawn, you know, they're going to take you to the funny farm, right? Well, wait a minute, the Bible told me to build an ark. No, you're taking it out of context. Okay, to whom? To Noah. That was very specific. To Noah, right? Okay, so you get the idea. A couple other quick principles besides Miles Coverdale there was 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we talked about dividing. There's 88 pages in here that are to us. The rest of the Bible is for us, but only those 88 pages that start with Romans 1:1 through the end of Philemon are to us, us being the church, the body of Christ. And we looked at some of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ earlier. We went to Matthew 10, Matthew 15, Matthew 19, and we saw, holy smokes, that doesn't deal with any of us. We saw when that man said to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, "Good master, what shall I do to have eternal life?" in Matthew 19. Do you think that might be important when the Lord Jesus Christ himself answers that question? What do I need to do to have eternal life? At the end of the day, what's this all about? It's about eternity. You know, there's good principles on how we should live our lives here. But at the end of the day, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and when we die, as Pastor Barry did 5 days ago, we're going to, in eternity, we're going to go to one or the other. good master, what good thing should I do to have eternal life? I think I'll listen. He said, keep the commandments. The Lord Jesus Christ said, keep the commandments. We can't do that for our salvation today, can we? And in this time period, that is still what you had to do. But not true in Romans to Philemon. I want you to turn in your Bibles now, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 9. Jeff has kind of taken us a different direction here in this second half hour. Singing the old rugged cross, and I think Rick was guilty part of this too, because there's power in the blood. And I was just sitting there, and those two songs, let's talk about that, because at the end of the day, there's a heaven, there's a hell. We're going to spend an eternity in one of those two places. If I'm going to take your time, shame on me for not making sure everybody here is real clear on how they spend eternity with the Lord, with the body of Christ, with the saints, like Pastor Barry Hampton. First of all, helps if I turn there. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's start in verse 19. So Hebrews 9:19. For when Moses had spoken every precept, excuse me, two things before we go there. I do want to make sure we maintain one other theme here. Keep your hand here in Hebrews 9. Go to Acts 17. And that while you're turning there, the other is, if I yell stop, if we're reading a verse and I say stop, please stop reading and just kind of look up, don't read ahead. In Acts chapter 17, there is a church here that Paul is talking, or the Bible is talking about. Luke wrote Acts 17:10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. So the church which is at Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These people in Berea, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Do you understand what they did? So when a man stood in front of them, taught them the word of God, they didn't take it at face value. They went home and searched the scriptures how often? Daily. And because of that, the Bible calls them noble, more noble than the church at Thessalonica. We are commanded to search the scriptures daily. Do not take what any, I've heard Brother Moore, Brother Jerry, Brother Barry, umpteen times say that. Don't take what I'm telling you. Okay, go search the scriptures. Let scriptures prove scriptures. Okay? By the way, when you do that, watch the first part of verse 12 there. Therefore, meaning because of what was just said, searching the scriptures daily, therefore, many of them believed. How about that? Okay? Now, with that being said, if you go to Hebrews chapter 9, please. Okay, verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. What did he sprinkle them with? The blood. How about that? Don't worry, I'm not going to sprinkle blood on you sitting out here. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And the next phrase being the key. And without shedding of blood is no remission. The blood, and we're talking about Moses. We're talking about way back here. We're talking about 2,000 and some years before the cross. See, the blood has always been important. It's always been the blood. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. It's amazing how many other versions, and again, we believe this authorized King James Version, the 1611 King James Version, is the Word of God. I sure believe that. I say we do. I believe that. I'll tell you that. I hope you do. And if you don't, I would challenge you to search the Scriptures daily, and you will believe that. Get the other versions out. Put them side by side. You will believe. That's a great exercise. And by the way, if you haven't done that, do that. It'll just reinforce your faith and why. You know, again, like I challenged you earlier, why do you believe what you believe? I mean, think about that. Be like the Bereans and search the Scriptures daily so you know what you believe. Like that next verse, therefore many believed. Okay, why, you've got to know why you believe what you believe. Okay, Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to find where I want to start here in a second. Okay, tell you what, let's start in verse 1, 12:1, just to set up the context. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Verse 5, and your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. Verse 6, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Okay. So you see, this is where Moses gets that message, right? God, the Lord, said it to him directly. Let's jump ahead now. Verse 21. So 12:21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And I'm adding the word lamb. And kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out the door of his house until the morning. Why? Next verse. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth what? The blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite ye. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Okay, so you see what happened. So what did he just tell them? I mean, he said, go kill the lamb with that blood, take the branch, that hyssop branch, dip it in there, and if you will, put it on the top of your door and on the sides of your door. So he had all the men, right? Moses had all the men there in Israel, there in captivity. This is the 10th plague, right? And he had them come. Now what happened? Okay, verse 29. Okay, so he told all this men, okay, go kill a lamb, take that, catch the blood, take that hyssop branch, dip it in there, top of your door, the two sides of your door. Verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Okay? The firstborn were killed. How did the death angel know which house to go in and which houses not to? the blood. Now let me ask you a question. Okay, Moses had all the men there, right? And he told them what to do. The death angel comes that night. And he comes to this house. There's no blood on that house. So what's the death angel going to do? Go in and take the firstborn. Do you think there might be anybody on this side of the door saying, wait a minute, you can't come in here. I stood right there where Moses was. I heard what Moses said. I believed what Moses said. What did he say? He told me all I had to do was take that branch, dip it in the blood, put it on the top of my door and on the sides, and you won't come in here. I don't see the blood. Well, okay, so I didn't do that, but I believe that that would save my firstborn. Would his firstborn be saved? No. Because he didn't do it. Lost believers, gang. How many people believe that the Lord Jesus Christ hung on a cross? And that when he died, and I'm using right here, but shed his blood, and that he was buried and he rose again 3 days later. There's a lot of people that believe that. Question, when did you apply that blood, if you allow me to say figuratively, to your salvation? Doesn't matter if you believe it. You've got to ask the Lord to save you. Lost believers, there's so many people that believe that. Just like that example here in Exodus 12. You see, it is a bloody religion. I'm amazed how many Bibles, versions of the Bible, take blood out. The word blood is gone. Why? There's power in the blood, right, Jeff? Matter of fact, without blood there is no remission. It doesn't matter if you just believe that that happened back there. Satan believes that. Satan knows good and well that Christ died. He saw the blood spread out there. And he sure knows he was risen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay, let's start in verse 6. Howbeit, so 1 Corinthians 1, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world, way back here, unto what? Our glory. And here it is. Which none of the princes of the, I'm sorry, verse 7. I lost my spot. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You understand it was a mystery hidden. Because if the princes right here, Satan thought he won, didn't he? He thought he won that eternal battle right there. When he had Christ crucified on that cross. But there's power in what? The blood. You see, as he was dying and shedding his blood, you know, it's amazing the passage when you go back and read the passage. And the soldier that shoved his spear in his side. And the Bible very distinctly says, and out came what? Water and blood. That is key. That proved he was dead, first of all, because at death, our blood separates from the water. So that's why when he said out came blood and water, that's one of those proofs that he was dead. But again, there's power in the blood. When he shed, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's when he paid the price. You know, why did he die? Because there's too many people like Steve Gottberg out there that sin. And for the wages of sin is death. There's too many Steve Gottbergs that deserve death. And there is only one way. Because you know what? Guys like me, they're not worth the gunpowder to take to blow them into hell. That's just the way it is. Christ had to pay that penalty. And when he shed that blood, there was power in that blood. He was paying the price. And all we have to do is put our faith in that. Lost believers. Now, I said in the earlier, the other two times, if you're going to have a man stand before you and teach you out of the Word of God, you need to hear his testimony. I was saved July 5th, 1983, because I was like one of these guys over here, the analogy I was giving you earlier, one of those guys that heard Moses and went back, and I believed all those things. But if that death angel had come any night prior to July 5th, 1983, I would have been just like this guy saying, wait a minute, you can't come in here. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for sins and that he was buried and rose again. I believe that. And that death angel would have said, yeah, pal, when did you apply that to your life? When did you dip, figuratively speaking, dip that hyssop branch in there and apply it to your sins? July 5th is the night I got lost. I realized, wow, yeah, I've believed that for many, many years. But I never applied that to my life. Lost believers. There are too many people that believe the events that happened, but when did they, you know, make sure you're sharing your testimony with people. When did they get lost? It's great to know when people got saved and hear their testimony, but when did you get lost? Brother Moore, Brother Jerry Lockhart, Brother Steve Atwood. July 5th, 1983 at Pineview Bible Camp. All three preached that same message. And I said, wow. I've been married for 3 or 4 months at the time. Thought I got married a saved man and realized that night I was lost. So that's the night I got saved. And based on Romans 9 and 10, Romans 10, 9 and 10, based on Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, okay, that's when I put my faith that when Christ died and shed his blood, he was paying the penalty for the sins that I had committed. So, Jeff, I thank you for sharing that song. It was just beautiful. And I know I just wanted to go back. Like I say, you just you feel led sometimes based on songs. But there's power in the blood, and we miss that. And at the end of the day, why do we rightly divide? You know, we were talking earlier about rightly dividing, which we'll come to here with the time left. But why is it important? You know, we have to be very cautious. Matter of fact, where was that? Let's go back to verse 5. In 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Wow, I was in 2, not 1, and I probably said that wrong earlier. My apologies to you. First of all, let's make sure we have the right verse. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay, if they would have known that when they were crucifying Christ, he was going to be paying the penalty for sins for all of us for the next 2,000 years out here, they wouldn't have crucified him. Satan thought he won, he lost. Okay, so that's what we did read. Now let's back up to 2:5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom. Verse 4, excuse me. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay, why do we rightly divide? Be careful. See, too many people do this. You know, look what we know. Okay? Look what we know, right? Division. Let me show you right division. At the end of the day, all that matters is this right here. Why do we rightly divide? So that we know where to get our gospel of salvation. Because there are many gospels of salvation throughout this book. But they were all for other dispensations, for other groups of people. Matter of fact, let's go back to what we said earlier. Moses telling all the people in captivity there. All right, tonight the death angel's coming. Go get a perfect lamb without blemish. Kill that lamb. Catch the blood. Dip the hyssop branch in there. Put it on your door. Well, we could go on the door lintel and you'll be saved. That applied to that night and that night only. Because that's when that death angel came. You could go do that today. Again, they might take you away, you know, for killing a lamb like that. And your neighbors might talk a little funny about you. You know, don't go in that house, man. They got blood on the top of the door and on both sides. Time out. The Bible said that. Yeah, it said it to a certain group of people at a certain time. If thou mark not only what is spoken and written, but of whom, to whom. Who was it? You know, Moses was the of whom, to whom. Were the Jews in captivity? With what words, what time, where, what intent? Keep it in context. This Bible comes alive when you keep it in context. And you can only do that by rightly dividing the word of truth. But again, at the end of the day, why is it important? Why does it even matter? It's to make sure you get the right gospel for your salvation. How do you know that Matthew 19 that we read in this morning, where he said, good master, what good things should I do to have eternal life? Okay, look out, here comes a gospel for salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ on earth right here in Matthew 19 said, keep the commandments. Okay, so if you believe you should do what the red letters say in your Bible, what Jesus said is good enough for me, well, go keep the commandments. But will you be saved today? No. You followed what Christ said even, and you wouldn't be saved. Isn't that something? How do you know that? Because of rightly division, rightly dividing, because of 2 Timothy 2:15. But again, make sure when you're doing all this right division, it's for the right reason. Okay? Not to show people how wise you are and how much you've learned in the Scriptures. You know, caution. Caution. It's because you want to help people understand that why the gospel that Paul preached in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he called that the gospel of your salvation. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Okay, so first of all, let's set this up. Romans, let's set up our context, if you will, like Miles Coverdale would have us do. Boy, that just happens to be the first book that we're saying is to us, right? So in the first chapter of the first book that's written to the body of Christ, this might be in the first of those 88 pages, might be in the second page of those 88 pages, depending on how your Bible is laid out there. But the first or second page of Scriptures written to you, to us, the body of Christ. 1:16, Paul says in verse 15, so, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And this is a great verse, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is the power of God unto salvation? The gospel of Christ. Where do you find the gospel of Christ? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Okay? Why do we rightly divide? So we know that is the gospel of our salvation. Wait a minute. What about What about? Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. You know, again, the way the Bible is laid out, Genesis to Malachi, commonly known as the Old Testament. The next books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, His ministry, and I would add, and this is not the message today, but I would add His ministry to 12 people. And no more than 12 people. They have committed heresy again. But follow this and you will see that His ministry was to 12 people. But anyway, my point, I'm going somewhere with this. So Christ dies, right? He spends 40, after His resurrection, He spends 40 days on earth. Okay, Acts picks up. Acts chapter 2. So in Acts chapter 1 is where Christ ascends into heaven. What happens in Acts 2? Peter takes over, doesn't he? Peter and the 12, but especially Peter. And if you look at Acts chapter 2, I'm looking, we've got 5 minutes, is that? Okay. Verse 2:5. Okay, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Okay, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Jews. Verse 14. Okay, but Peter, standing up with the 11, by the way, you'll find out in chapter 1, you know, that Matthias, verse 26, Matthias is that replacement for Judas Iscariot who betrayed Christ, not Paul. Paul is not one of the 12. Yes, he is an apostle. He is the apostle to the Gentiles, we are told 20-some times. Okay? But Matthias, in verse 26, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Let Scripture tell you. Okay. So verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, because Peter makes a 12th in this case, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. And he goes on to talk, and he preaches a murder indictment unto them. That man that you killed, that man was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You killed Him. And if you go to verse 37, well, let's start in 36. This is his conclusion, if you will. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, not let the world know, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Okay, that was the conclusion of his murder indictment. So, verse 37, now when they, the house of Israel, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. I mean, wouldn't you, if you just realized you killed the Lord Jesus Christ? They're pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We just killed the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we do now? I'd be pretty worried too if I were one of them. What do we do? Verse 38, which is going to be preached more than any other gospel today in this country anyway, is verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins is a gospel. The question is it your gospel? And the answer is no. And by the way, did they have eternal salvation? The answer is no. They had to endure to the end. You understand, we live in the best dispensation there is because, you know, even though we do get saved and realize, and we put our trust in the fact that when Christ shed His blood, He shed it for our sins, But we're still going to sin, aren't we? But praise God, when He died on the cross and shed His blood for our sins, He shed them for how many of them? All. Just like the verse I always claim to live my life is Romans 8:28, right? Okay, and all means all. Doesn't mean most. All means all. We know that all things work together for good for them who love God, for them who are called according to His purpose. All means all. Not all good things, not all sort of good things. All means all, and they do work together for good. Sometimes it may take us 10 years to look back. I think of Brother Barry. And I've heard some really great things that have happened. Brother Barry's death. All means all. I guarantee you, Brother Barry, if he was sitting down here right now, he'd be going, praise God. If that's what it took, then so be it. So Acts chapter 2, that is a gospel. Come to Galatians chapter 2. Here again, every other version of the Bible other than the King James Version will foul this up so bad. But if you don't rightly divide, you've got to foul this up. Otherwise, it's a contradiction. Galatians chapter 2. And I'm going to start in verse 7. And Paul, unto the church which is at Galatia, says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. How many gospels do you see in that verse right there? Two. Now, most other versions, as the gospel of the uncircumcision, all other versions will say this. As the gospel of the uncircumcision was unto Peter, as the gospel to the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul, as the gospel to the circumcision was unto Peter. How many gospels in that case? One. They try to say it's one gospel, and Paul took it to this group, and Peter took it to that group. They'll at least get the fact that there were two groups. King James Bible says the gospel that went to this group that Paul took to the uncircumcision was the gospel of the uncircumcision, not the gospel to the uncircumcision. Galatians chapter 2 in King James says, and the one that Peter took over here to the circumcision, he called it the gospel of the circumcision. What's the gospel of the circumcision? We just read it back in Acts chapter 2, 38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Two different gospels. Two different groups. How many of you in here are Jews? Okay, we are Gentiles. Paul says in here 20 some times, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, that's why we rightly divide. Okay, that's why we rightly divide. To make sure we get the gospel for our salvation today in the year 2010. There is one gospel that applies. Turn to Romans chapter 5. There is one gospel that applies to any and all today. Anybody that walks this earth today, anybody that's walked this earth for the last 2,000 years, you know, when we're saved, we are saved into what church? The church which is His body. The church which is the body of Christ. How many people would love to see Barry Hampton again? How many people have a few other good friends, relatives that we know are saved by the blood of Christ, saved into the church which is the body of Christ, and you want to see them again? Why do we rightly divide? Because there's eternity. There are two places we get to spend eternity. One is in heaven, if you will, to be with the Lord forever, and the saints. The other is hell. And that's not a good thing, is it? Eternal damnation, the Bible calls that. Wailing, gnashing of teeth. Okay, the Lord made it real easy for us, and all we've got to do is believe it. It is so easy. Sometimes that's a problem. It's so easy. Okay, but when you put your trust in the fact that when Christ shed His blood, it was for your sins. Okay, when He rose again, for your justification. Not just everybody's justification who would believe it. Make sure it's yours. Personalize it. Go dip that branch, if you will, if you've never done it before, and think back. If I can't think of a time when I did that, then maybe this is a day you're getting lost. Because you got to get lost before you can get saved. Too many people, well, you know, at 12 years old, and I've always been in church, and I've always believed, and it was a gradual thing. No, it's not. There's a time when you go stick the branch in there. Yeah, it was a gradual progression of events to get the lamb, kill it, catch the blood, all that was a bunch of stuff. But there's a physical time when you went and dipped the branch in and applied it to your life. And don't let Satan, I'll tell you, when I realized I was lost, I spent the next 2 hours trying to get Brother Moore to convince me that I really was saved. And you all know the wisdom in that man. It's that word, the number one thing that Satan uses to get us today is that word, pride. Don't be too good to realize, to admit that you were a lost sinner doomed for hell. Okay, if you've never, if you're thinking real hard right now, when did I do that? You just might be lost. Don't let that time go by. Brother Barry preached from this pulpit, went to sleep that night, and didn't wake up the next morning. How do you know that won't be you? I'll never forget 10 years ago going from, we lived in North Carolina at the time, we were going to a Bible conference, Brother Moore's conference. This would have been the year 2000, 2001. Down in Destin or Orange Beach, wherever it was, but it was the one just shortly after Brother Barry's son and Brenda's son, Jonathan, was killed. And on that way down, of course, we talked about that with our family. But would you believe on the way down, we saw, I mean, how many people have ever seen a helicopter at a car accident, seen a helicopter come in and airlift somebody out? How many people have seen it? How many people have not ever seen that? Okay, over half the people in this room have never seen that. Would you believe we saw not one, not two, but three accidents on that drive with a, and we saw the physical helicopter three times in one trip. Do you think we didn't have a chance to work to talk with our girls that day? I have three daughters. And then we get there and hear Brother Barry give that message that is on tape. I believe that's when he gave that message. Unbelievable. About how he could now understand how God the Father, when he turned his back on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to allow Him to die and shed His blood for the sins of no good sinners like every one of us. And to hear Barry stand there and preach like that when His Son was just killed and say, I now understand. All means all in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Even things like that. My final verse is here. Romans chapter 5. Because when you have that salvation, this is you. Brother Jerry Lockhart always says, when you first get saved, what you should read in this Bible, and read it many times over, Romans 3 through Romans 8. And when you get done reading it, read it again. When you get done, read it again. Well, let's go right sort of in the middle there. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not have that peace, if you cannot remember that time where you physically put a, where you figuratively put a branch in that blood that was shed 2,000 years ago for you, for all of us, but if you can't remember the time when you dipped it for you, search out your salvation, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because once you do that, once you know without a shadow of a doubt that you've done that, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. May we all have that peace with God. It has been such a privilege to stand in my... like I said, one of the top five most influential men in my life was Brother Barry Hampton. And it's been a privilege to be here in fellowship with you Wednesday night, this morning, today. I thank you for that opportunity. Just remember, we rightly divide the word so we know the right gospel. Work out your own salvation first. And as I had this discussion with Barry the last couple weeks before he died, before he passed away. And you could see the shift in his ministry and what he was preaching. And he was trying to get each one of us, to make sure we're out there sharing that gospel. What good is it if we keep what we learn, in here and here and here? That's what we're commanded to do, is to go out and share that gospel. And Barry, I thank you for lighting a fire under this guy. And again, may we all have that peace. Thanks. It's been a privilege being with you.